Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome. It is another great day to change the world. Today's episode is with Patricia Lohan. Loved talking to her. I love the energy. And she's someone who created her career after saying no more to what society standards had for her. She basically paved her own way. She manifested her own love life. And she created this amazing resource for other entrepreneurs. We talk about her journey to that, how she connects across cultures, and what interesting and exciting things she's doing for entrepreneurs. Hope you like the episode. Check it out. And I really love you all. I've been getting all your messages, and I'm so grateful that you all listen. So thank you. Enjoy and listen.
In a world where very few people embrace their global identity and seek to understand their neighbors, cross-cultural expert Tayo Roxon is on a mission to bridge this divide. Each week, he'll open your mind with insights from some of the global minds in the world. Get ready, take some notes, and learn how to be the best you that you can be.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of As Told by Nomads. And today's guest is the lovely Patricia Lohan. And we are going to be talking about how to make the most out of your life, how to find that deeper feeling and create that environment that is supportive for whatever your intentions are. Now, Patricia is a coach, a healer, a feng shui expert, and a passionate female entrepreneur who has shaped her dream life. She ended up on her path because she saw firsthand the power of the mind, surroundings, and inner healing, clearing and aligning everything so it all works holistically. We're going to be talking about how she shaped her inner world to get your mindset and history complete and how that affects your environment and vice versa. So I can't wait to hear a lot of her stories. She also hails from Ireland and she's currently living in Bali. So there's definitely a lot of travel stories that we'll dive into. Welcome to the show, Patricia.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
I always love it when people reach out to me, especially when listeners reach out to me and share their story, because it's really about getting more diverse stories out there in the world. And, you know, when I started the podcast, it was like, how many global mindsets can I share? And so it's truly humbling to hear people like yourself continue to live out that life, but also, you know, live out the mission statement of this podcast, which is, I say, use your difference to make a difference.
Yes, beautiful. I love that. And it's so great to be able to share. I love that idea, that whole global voices and getting global impact. And because there's so many different people with so many different opinions and so many different insights and experiences. And sometimes we can be really single tracked in our lives because we're surrounded by a certain path. And, you know, that's one of the things around this whole idea of being intentional with our lives, because we're born into a certain family and this is the way it kind of looks. And, you know, you're in your school that everyone goes to college, you kind of follow this path and it can be kind of blinkering. So having these global influences, and I think travel is one of the biggest ones, is when you step out of that comfort zone and out of that track or that train, that line that's kind of like, this is where you're meant to go, this straight line. And actually life is not a straight line at all. But at the same time, when you step off it and veer off it, that's when it gets exciting and interesting and fun. So I love the whole thing.
No, it's so true. And I definitely subscribe to that mindset. Tell us about your journey, though, because You know, how did you get to where you are today? I imagine there's been quite the ride.
Oh my God, that is such a, yeah, it's been quite the ride. It's been an amazing journey. I hail from the west coast of Ireland, so it's a small city. In Ireland, it's a city, but I think if you compare it to the States, it's like a tiny town, basically. And it's by the Atlantic Ocean. And my parents always used to say to me, you know, that you could be the president, Patricia. You can do anything, which is something I feel really grateful for, that they didn't really ever stop us from doing anything that we wanted to do, and giving us opportunities. So it was one of these places, like, you know, they didn't go to school, but they ended up being really successful entrepreneurs. So like my mom didn't go to like secondary school or like college or anything. Like, she's finished like primary, and same with my dad. But they ended up these really hardworking, amazing entrepreneurs in their city, and you know, just great personalities, good people, kind, and really just made a difference in their community. And I grew up with that environment, saying you can kind of do anything, because they did whatever they want. Like, they kind of grew from that experience as entrepreneurs. So that was great. And my mom used to always say to me, Patricia had a coat on before anybody even talked about going anywhere. I was ready for a trip or a journey or an adventure. I always wanted to be in the car or going somewhere or doing something different. So that was like part of my thing, is like, travel has been a huge part of my life and journey. So I studied business studies. It was because I had this entrepreneurial family, I decided I'm going to be doing business, you know. So I studied business in university, and then I ended up moving to France and living there for a few months. And from there, I went in a work placement, and my first work placement outside of Ireland and Europe was actually in the Philippines. And I lived there for 9 months. I was 18 years old, and I went there on my own. And everyone was like, what? Mm-hmm. And you know, the conversation came, like, two positions came traineeship I was applying for. One was in India, in Calcutta, and the other one was in the Philippines. And if you think about India, like, Ireland is a Catholic country. Mother Teresa would have been a very huge, prolific, you know, person or icon in our country. And all was associated with Calcutta was Mother Teresa and the poor people dying. And mom was like, I was like, I've got a job in the Philippines or Calcutta. And mom's like, you're not going to Calcutta. Like, even though she was open-minded, you're not going to the slums of Calcutta. So I ended up in Manila, an 18-year-old working for a finance company for 8 months. And it blew my mind. I met so many different people. I experienced so many different foods and cultures and adventures. And it was like, this, I just want to do this forever. And that was an 8 month journey to, first of all, realize I'm not really great with accountancy or that kind of thing. And I went back and studied marketing and finished my job, but I finished my college degree. And kind of then, like I was talking at the beginning about this train track, like, it's like, oh, well, everybody now is getting a job in a company. And, you know, maybe that's what the next thing I'm meant to do. Maybe I'm just meant to stop and do 9 to 5. And of course, I grew up in a family where 9 to 5 does not exist. When your parents are entrepreneurs, it's just like, you know, you work whatever those customers, you just go with it. So that was like, I kind of tried to squish myself into this box of the corporate world. And I really got a bit allergic to it and ejected myself out of it and ended up going to Japan and working for a company in Japan for a couple of months. That was amazing. It was another 9 month stint in Tokyo. And again, just the culture, the people, the food, the experiences was, oh my God, wow. So that then led me to, and at that same time, my dad decided to come out of retirement and start a business. Again, because he kind of like decided, I'm going to retire, and, you know, but what does someone who's only ever been an entrepreneur and worked all their life do when they retire? They start another business, basically, right? Because it's like, this is all I know. So he started another business, but it was probably one of his biggest projects ever in his retirement. So I came on board and I set up the business with him. It was a bar, a restaurant, off license, by the seafront in Galway. It was a beautiful place and it was epic. I was 24. We had 30 staff. I basically ran the whole thing. I started from scratch and ran the whole thing. And within a year, we were kind of like a turnover of like 7-figure turnover. It was a huge project. I worked 17-hour days and it was mental. And that lasted for several years. I was in this box of the restaurant and running it and doing super well. And on the outside, everything looked great. I had this lovely little BMW, I had a Sea View apartment, I had lovely designer clothes. You know, I didn't want for anything in the world, except I literally wore black every day. And if people know me today, I'm like a rainbow. I wear like bright colors all day, every day. I'm super happy, like just super bubbly and like all about the rainbow colors. And I literally wore black every single day. It was like at times I was like going to my own funeral because I could see what was rolling out ahead of me. And it was not a happy place at all. I really had kind of burned myself into the ground and realized that, like, you know, sat with my dad one day and I was like, oh my God, like we could do this and open ones in other cities and blah, 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 blah. Like, are you going to be stuck in this box? And he was like, this was his dream. Like, this was his dream and he was happy. And he didn't want any more. And I just thought this, and I said, well, are you going to be stuck in this box? Like literally this square box. And he said, what else do you want? And my whole body like crumbled on the inside. My body, my heart, everything went, oh, this is it. So that kind of really took a huge kind of, it really hit me strong and I didn't really know what I was going to do about it. But in that same period of time, a lot of holistic therapies and things kind of came in, clients. It was actually through the restaurant, loads of customers started coming in and I started engaging with me about different things. Like this guy arrived in and he was like teaching yoga and I was like, oh, I'll join you. I said, I'll come to your class tomorrow. And then this other lady started coming and helping me with like marketing with the business through the Irish language. And she was like, there's this meditation circle, come to this meditation circle. And I was like, okay. And pretty soon I was running like holistic nights in our restaurant. I was going to yoga every week. I was doing all this, going to this meditation circle. I would come home like totally hyper. Because I was so high on the energy of the meditations and people were like, are you drunk? And I was like, no, my God, this is so good. And I was kind of feeding my soul. And my mum went and dad went away to Australia to visit my sister. And they came home from Australia and everyone was like, oh, it must be so hard to leave your daughter over in Australia. Like she's so far away. Like it takes like 2 days to get home. And my mum was like, no, she is so happy. I'm just so happy for her. She is so happy. Why would I be sad? And she literally walked in. I'll never forget this moment. She walked into the restaurant and my mom hadn't been really that involved in the business because she had her own business at the time. But she walked in and she saw me when she came back from Australia. And she was like, oh, my God, Patricia, like I have one daughter in Australia who's so happy. And I have another daughter here who's right in front of me. And she's like not happy and she needs to leave. And she kind of took me aside and said, you know what, Patricia, I think you should leave. And I was like, actually, I'm going to India to become a yoga teacher. I had no idea. This just flew out of my mouth. I was like, I am. So she was like, yeah. And I went, okay. So I quit after many years there. I left everything. I kind of like rolled off my car, everything, got rid of 42 pairs of shoes, like 20 black bags of clothes. And, you know, from a feng shui perspective, which is what I practice now is like one of my main modalities I work with clients with. Like I literally decluttered my entire life, like my job, my car, like just everything went. And it was like I was down to this just hollow empty, just me. This is just raw me with one suit, one rucksack. And I was off to India. I thought I was going to India for a month to train as a yoga teacher. And I had a ticket to go all the way around the world. And I ended up being in India for just over a year. The journey brought me on a real amazing, you know, spiritual awakening. I think like it's cliche, but it's true. I was in India, all these crazy things happened. I don't know whether it's like you declutter everything, you let go, and physically through the practice of yoga, like you're opening your body physically. So by opening your body physically, all these opportunities come up because it's like, it's not just your body, it's your mind, it's spirit. Everything is just, you're allowing new things. So through that, I became a trained in sound healing and I met a beautiful man in Nepal. And he said to me, I had just trained in sound healing and it's a very crazy synchronistic story, but all ended up being sitting beside this random guy in a restaurant. He says that he also does sound healing with Tibetan singing bowls. I was like, wow, I just trained like yesterday. And he said, oh, have you bought your singing bowls yet? I said, no. He said, come with me tomorrow and I will bring you to see where I get mine. Okay. And we walk into this shop the next day and he says, this is Patricia. She's bringing sound healing to Ireland and you must give her my wholesale prices for the singing bowls. And I was like, I'm what? So I went, okay. And that's that, like I went back to Ireland, brought these fruit bowls as my mum called them. And people don't know what singing bowls are. They're really round. They look like metal fruit bowls, basically. They're from seven different metals. They're powerful tools for transformation. The sound they bring really kind of resonates through every cell of your body through the sound of the vibration. They can drop you into very deep, powerful states of meditation and healing and clearing, because everything is energy and vibration, and the bowls just clear that. So I literally brought sound healing to Ireland. I set up a business. I kind of like arrived back. My mum was like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm moving to Dublin. I'm setting up a business. And I moved to Dublin with 50 euros and all my singing bowls. My credit card totally maxed out. A friend said, where are you going to live? And I'm like, I don't know yet. She said, I'll find something. She said, I have a single room. You can take that. No rent until you get your classes filled, your yoga classes filled. Another friend said, here, you can have my bicycle. So I had a bicycle. I had 50 euros and a little room to sleep in. Wow. And I kind of just started from there with my sound therapy business. And within a year, kind of kept showing up. I think it's a big part of when you're on a path of just the unknown, because I did not know what was going to happen every day. But I remember the first place I just kind of turned up at this networking, it's like a social, like holistic social event. I kind of rocked up. I had no friends in this sphere. I was in a new city. I'm like, what am I going to do? But you know what? All of the past experiences of like moving to Japan on my own, moving to the Philippines on my own, I was so used to kind of going into environments on my own and just being like, I've got to make some friends. So what do? You need to show up at things. You just turn up and be like, hi, do you want to be a friend? You know, so that really was part of the transformation, was really meeting new people there. And they said, one guy invited, he said, oh, you do the sound healing? Yeah, great. Come talk at my event. And I was like, great. I talked to them at his event. And that night, several people bought singing bowls from me. So that was like kind of money to eat for that month. And then lots of just, you know, showing up and being at places and talking to people. And then someone said to me, hey, do you do sound healing sessions? I said, yes, I do. Oh, okay, I want one. And then after a few months, people are like, oh my God, you teach people how to do this. And I'm like, I can teach you. Okay, I'll start teaching you. You know, so I literally set up a school of sound therapy in Dublin. That was within a couple of months of me being there. And it was amazing. I became like the go-to girl for sound healing in Ireland. It was like small pond Ireland, but like, you know, all the media and all the press, all that was like, know me. If people were like looking for singing bowls, they would be like, that's the girl, which is amazing. But what I manifested my husband and trained in feng shui and had a load of other Mary Poppins bag of tools that I trained in while I was in India. But the bowls was always kind of this interesting one of how, you know, just follow this path, the breadcrumbs, you know, it's like one step in front of the other. So when I had, that was my practice for 2 years, my business just over two, well, I was, and then by the time I met my husband, I had 2 more years. So I was running that business for 4 years and we got married two and a half years ago. And I realized that I had created a business that I was like stuck in Dublin. You know, I had clients that came to see me. I had the bowls that I would sell and do work with, that I had training courses, but everything was in person. And it was almost like I created my own box again, like the restaurant. I'm like, I've created this cube and I'm kind of stuck here. So I'm like, that's not what I want. So it's like this whole like death of that. Like I don't know, I have a lot of time to kind of play with that and be like, is this what I really want? Like, what do I want? And my husband and I were on just before we got married, we were on a yoga retreat. And he said, he's never lived in a different country. And, you know, I had really felt like that this is where we were going to be in Ireland with our house in the countryside. You know, it's like that fairy tale, like this beautiful house in the green hills of Ireland in the most scenic place, like a business that was going great. And an amazing relationship. And I just thought, well, this is it now, you know, that's all your travel done now. That's your life. You know, you're here and you've got everything sorted. And Ken just said, I've never lived in a different country. And I was like, do you want to live in a different country? He's like, I'd love to. I've always wanted to. And I'm like, oh my God, let's go. So literally everything was just like, our life was just kind of like everything looked fine and perfect again. But it wasn't from a space of like, oh my God, that it wasn't the energy of say the India and the oh my God, everything's terrible. But it was like, oh my God, I've designed my life in a way that isn't exactly how I want it to look. Like we want to travel, we want to experience more things, have a different way of life. And that's how we kind of ended up in Bali, basically. And that was just over 2 years ago. No, just under 2 years ago. We went to India first. And interestingly enough, both of us had been to India. Like, obviously, I was there for a long time. I loved it. We both got there. And it was a very difficult time. It was really tricky. It was very challenging. There was a lot. It was like, this isn't what we wanted. This doesn't feel like this isn't it. And we were trying to make the most of it. And it was like this real push energy. And every day this French guy used to come by and chat to us or meet us. And he had lived in Bali. And he was like, Bali, 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 Ubud, Bali, Ubud, Bali. And then a friend of ours had gifted us, as I said, I really ended up in Bali because this friend lives in a small island. Actually, my very first yoga teacher, he lives in a tiny island, Giliti, off Bali. And he had invited us to stay with him at his guest house as a gift for our wedding. We were like, well, we're going to go to Gili to see our friend David, but sure, we'll stop off in Ubud. And that was it. It was like we landed here. And it felt so good. And we were like, wow, this feels really good. And we 3 days later, we took a house for 6 months. That was nearly 2 years ago. And we had no business because we'd let everything go. So we didn't even know what we were going to do, to be honest. We just trusted the process. And I'd done a little bit of stuff online. I knew that I wanted to create something online. And one of the things people asked me a lot of questions about was feng shui. So I started and did a small course on feng shui. That was in March 2016, of course, in 2016. A small course for a few people, with six people the first time we did it. And I'll never forget celebrating those six people. I was like, yay, finally I have this flexibility. Because I just said to you, I was in New York last week. I went to Australia on Tuesday. Like, there's a lot of travel going on as well. And this last round, we enrolled 60 people in our course. So it's been a journey.
Wow.
And here I am in Bali now. I don't know if that is that too long. I'm kind of like, I went on everything. But there you go.
There is so much to unpack there, Patricia. First of all, thank you for telling that story. That's, I don't know if you've ever written a book, but I feel like you pitched an editor right now, an idea for a book. That is amazing. It's when we started, I was asking you for this to explain your ride, and that's certainly been one ride. And one thing that I want to start off with is this idea. I'm someone that likes to have this health in a holistic way, where it's physical, mentally, and spiritual. And for me, I guess, spiritual for me is a little different because I grew up as a Christian and I've been exploring what that is like, a little bit more lately in my life with meditation and getting closer. But I also know that there's several spiritual practices that many other people have. And I've been fascinated with what that relationship is like, whether it's feng shui or whether it's other practices. And when you mentioned earlier that you had seemingly everything successful on the outside, the BMW, everything, your dad loved the job, but maybe you didn't. Well, I'm wondering if you could explain to me what that path to inner satisfaction was, because many people certainly are living their lives right now faking it. I got my MBA here in New York, and a lot of people will do the job that they wanted to do, and they say, I'm just going to be an investment banker, make $300,000 a year, and have all the cars. But when I met them after I graduated, you could see that they were miserable. But they didn't want to give that up because of the appearances. So I'm wondering what was that thing internally that made you feel like, I got to get out of this, and I have to start over again, because not many people have that bravery.
I feel like it was almost like I was being pushed into it, if that makes sense. Like, things started to just, it was like, first of all, obviously I never ever expected my mom to say that to me. Like, I really did think that if I was to ever leave, that like, it would be a really huge thing, like a huge deal. And I feel like I was nearly squeezed into it. Like I was so miserable and I knew something had to change. And ironically, like a few years earlier, I had like, left a very long-term relationship because I thought it was the relationship. So it was like, I thought it was the relationship and I let that one go. And then it was like, I ended up on this whole crazy journey with that whole scenario of being single again and being like, oh my God, you know, maybe it's just like, I need something else outside. I need another guy to help fuel it. And really it has to come from inside. And that's one of the things that we don't give ourselves a chance to actually listen to what we want, and that we have this inner wisdom inside of us. And we can spend all the time looking outside, but deep down inside of us, we know what makes us feel happy. We know what brings us peace. We know, but it's being squashed down as kids, you know, as kids, as adults, as employees. It just gets like we're not allowed to be heard. We don't allow ourselves to hear this inside. And I think that that was one of the things that like my first yoga class, like I actually nearly get tears when I think of it. Because that was such a sporadic thing. This guy came in, he was a friend of my sister's. And my sister had been telling him for months that she was going to come to his yoga class. And he walked in and I said, you yoga classes, like when's your class? He said, tonight at 7:30. I said, I'll be there. And he said that in the back of his head, she's not going to turn up. And I turned up and I sat on the mat. And he said this line, he said, this is an hour for you. The tears rolled down my face because I had spent this whole time, you know, I set up this business. This is my dad's dream. Like I was fulfilling somebody else's dream for them. And I hadn't given a chance to be like, is this actually what I really want? Like, you know, is this what I really want? I think that's the thing. It was like when I had these moments of like, this is an hour for you, it was like, what? And that hour became so, so important for me every week. I never missed it. Even if I was 20 minutes late, I would still run in and do the class. I would still just show up and be there because I needed to show up for myself. I think this is the kind of crux of it, is like showing up for yourself is the part. Like, because we can show up for everyone else and for the appearances and the look of it and put on the nice clothes and the makeup on the car. And that's all just on the outside. But if we're not showing up for ourselves and for our deepest wants and giving yourself an opportunity to hear that. So the yoga was the one place that I heard that. And then it was like this meditation circle that I went to. And I'm like, I had never like meditated like ever before. Like, and genuinely, if I sit here and meditate, my mind is still super crazy. Like this morning I sat down to meditate. I'd done some work before I went to set in. To sit, and I was like, why did I do it before I sat? Because I couldn't, like, I just couldn't drop in. It was too busy right in my mind. But I still sat. You know, I still just, okay, I'm going to sit here and just sit and just listen, because it's all inside. And that, I think, is the biggest thing. And, you know, whatever, you know, background or religion or whatever your spiritual direction is, you know, prayer and self-reflection and going within is all there. It's just explained in very different ways and they have different terminology, but it's about really just going in.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That's well said. And then the other thing that I had a question for you as I was listening to you is, you talked about the travels you had in your life, and you know, mm-hmm. obviously your parents were definitely entrepreneurial, so maybe you didn't grow up with the idea of them telling you, you must be a doctor or a lawyer or engineer, but
yeah,
you had this desire, I guess, from a young age to just sort of find yourself alone in many foreign countries. Now, that is something that causes some people to break out in hives, and that is something that causes some people to just burst out with joy. But either in those two situations, there's always one thing that someone's always curious about whenever they're traveling to a new country, and that's connecting across cultures. And that's part of why this podcast exists. So what things did you do to connect?
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
With the locals and the foreigners as you were there.
To connect with the locals and the foreigners that was there in these different countries, let me see. So the first country that I lived in France, we had lots of friends. Actually, when we lived in France, there wasn't many other Europeans when we were there. So we kind of just had to hang out with French people, essentially. They were our friends. And that was one of the big things, is you to make friends with. And, they had a double whammy. It was it was this kind of interesting dynamic because they wanted to learn English and we wanted to learn French. So it was I'm going to speak English or French. What are we? It was this kind of mixture. So the language thing was always a really interesting one that kind of got you on a level playing ground, because we both kind of wanted to share from each other from both points of view. Another part of, say, the Philippines was a big part of working with the people, because I really was landed into these cultures to work, but also to play and have fun. And we really kind of bonded. That was 18, it was so young, but we made an effort to, I did make an effort to kind of just make friends. And the university that I was kind of placed with and the job that I had, they all really wanted international connections. So it's a really interesting dynamic when you move to different countries, because there's people who want to get to know foreign people because they want, it's just me wanting to get to know a culture. They want to, experience the global experience just through knowing people and learning. Yeah. That's a really nice part, is because you've got this interaction of both kind of in wisdom between. But every culture is so, they're so different as well when it comes to interactions. For me, the Philippines was the most open. Come into our homes, come eat here, share with us. They got so excited. And, in some places, they would not have seen a foreign, in some of the places that I would have gone to, I would go to the market and people would come up with their babies and rub my skin because they wanted white. They wanted, or pregnant women would be like, oh my God, I love your skin. You're so white. You're so white. And, I'd be okay. And I'm it's the irony. We're oh, I'd love a gray tan,
Yeah, yeah. No.
That
happened to me in Vietnam with except it was the black skins. But yes.
Oh, amazing. And so it's really about learning that dynamic, because in Japan, it was much, much more difficult to really interact with the Japanese culture and kind of meet people. I remember standing in a being lost one day with a map, standing in the middle of Tokyo with this map, and I was a lot of Japanese people will have learned English, most of the young people will have been studying English since they were kids. So I was best bet, find a young person, ask them directions. So I went over to this girl, I showed her my map and I said directions, and she literally went ah and ran away. And I don't know who got the bigger shock. I was oh my God.
Wow.
So, but then at that same point, on that same term, when I went into the offices and interacted with people, there was so much respect. There was so much interest and fascination in about my country, because, there's not many Irish people that go to Japan, seriously. So they were oh my God, and what do? You work for a timber company. Do you have timber in Ireland? Because it's such a small country. So there was that kind of fascination level as well. And, I was equally fascinated by their culture and by their traditions and by their food. And so it's that whole double whammy of the interaction between the cultures and learning.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's, this stuff is amazing. And what I always say to people is find your connectors. Whenever you're in a foreign country, that there are many connectors that you have, a lot of interests you have. You just explore around that. For me, my connectors have always been sports, pop culture, or geography. So if I go somewhere, I'm always looking for whatever the sport is. My favorite sports might be basketball, soccer, and tennis, but that doesn't mean that my interest for sports can't expand to what the local sport is. And, based on doing an activity you love, you can find that. If it's music, it's the same thing. What music are they playing? Dance, similar. Yeah. Food. It's always a great way.
Food.
Yeah. Just asking them hey, so what's the local delicacy here? Or what's the food? And even partaking in that, sort of limits, you know, lowers that barrier where someone feels like you're making an effort. So.
Yeah, for sure. And trying their food. Yeah. And going to the local places, like in India, I brought Ken to this little local place that that my yoga teacher had brought me in Goa. And it's like this tiny little place. And they do these masala dosas. It's like my favorite Indian dish. It's like it's like a pancake with like potato in the center. All delicious. Right. So I had but this tiny little place, and it was like all the locals, and they looked at us like, where are you going? And we ordered it, and Ken was like, this is so Dutch. Like, where are you bringing me? What are we doing? Like, I'm not sure about this, Patricia, like, seriously. And it was like super hot and sticky and sweaty, and I'm like, it's gonna be worth it, I promise. And then the masala dosas came out, and Ken's like, that was so good. And we're like, I know, you know? And it's like going into those places. And like, the thing is, when you're in different countries, you're out of your comfort zone anyways. So you may as well push yourself even further out of it, you know? And just go to those places. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's one of the best ways to be a global leader, is making sure you're the minority in some situation, or you're putting yourself outside of your comfort zone. You have to be able to measure your exposure to difference, for sure. Okay. So I don't want to paint the picture that travel is always all nice, you know? So you expressed, you said you had some difficulty in India, you know, it wasn't what you expected.
Yeah.
What were those difficulties?
It wasn't what we expected. So some of those difficulties were like the accommodation, like the thing is that it also depends on where you are in your life. Like the previous time I had been in India, I had been, you know, living a very, very, like, you know, basic subsistence level, like a little room would do me totally fine. But, you know, I had like grown up, matured, I was married, we had just left our beautiful home in Ireland, and we ended up in this tiny little dingy house that was like, it was just all like moldy and weird. And it was like kind of like, the view was amazing with this gorgeous hammock, and it was like right by the ocean, and the sea would lap up, but there was like cockroaches, and like it was like all the really tough stuff that when I'd lived in the Philippines, we cockroaches every day, all the time. And it was just like, that was all part of your life. It was not like a pretty, you know, gorgeous, glamorous place. But I think that as we had kind of, as I'd matured, I was like, this isn't kind of what like our dream is, like living in this dingy little crap place that we cannot swing a cat in and feeling really uncomfortable. Also then it was just a really interesting, I think energetically is another part of that. It's like how you feel there. Like we weren't really well. Ken was super sick for like most of the time we were there. He had like serious Delhi belly, or like India belly. I have definitely got like a stomach of steel. Oh, wow. I don't know if it's like all the travel, but I'm really, really good with that. But Ken had been really sick. So it was just like a lot. And I think that change does really affect you if you haven't experienced it many times. And I suppose for me, I'm pretty used to changing a lot. Like we moved house a lot when I was growing up. I moved to all these different countries, have different experiences. So I'm pretty good at adapting to the environment. But for Ken, it was a lot more challenging because he was like, okay, well, first of all, we had just got married. He'd quit his long-term job that he'd been in for nearly 25-30 years. I kind of left everything. We didn't know what we were doing our business. Like there was just a lot of uncertainty. So I think compounded by the kind of craziness and intensity of India and the noise and the beeping and just that whole energy was like, oh, you know, it wasn't like a soft landing basically, which is kind of like, oh, we're just going to go and live by the beach in India. It's going to be so nice and easy. It was not like that at all. Mm. And the thing is, there's a part of us that was like, we're going to make this work, you know? And then it was like, what are we doing? Like, this is not working. Like, we're not having a great time. We're kind of like pushing. We're not like getting on great. Ken is really sick. What do we do out of this situation? We need to move. We need to find a better environment. And honestly, we landed in Bali, and it was like the energy was like, hey, welcome. It was like, here's a beautiful space here. You know, so it's about recognizing these environments. And for us, the environment in India definitely wasn't supportive of us at that time in our lives.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that, and both of us were like leaving India, not with any kind of regrets about going there. It was more like, let's just leave like our India trips to be like for holidays and for, you know, going for like spiritual work or that, but like let's not like find this to be our work or to be our life here. It doesn't feel like it's kind of welcoming us. Whereas other, we got here in Bali, it was like arms wide open. That was kind of the feeling. Welcome. We found this gorgeous house. We had a pool. We've been in the jungle. We're like, is this real? Like, and I'm like, I'm on the scooter driving down to yoga in the mornings. And I don't know if you've ever done this, but it's like writing your dream day. And genuinely, like I do, and it was at that kind of the very beginning and now, but like it's kind of like part of our lives. But it was like, I'm actually living my dream day. I wake up, I do my meditation. I've got my gorgeous husband, because you know, when I was in India the previous time, I was single, got my gorgeous husband. I'm going down to go to yoga. I can pick up a coconut on the way. Got like, it was like this, like I'm going through the jungle and the rice paddies and so warm, and like I'm Irish, so it's cold usually. So I'm like, oh my God. And it was like surreal, like pinch me. Is this like, am I allowed this? Is this real? And that was the feeling, where it was not like that in India, do you know? So it's like really being aware of like when you're trying to make something work, like, does it feel right? And that's the same with any environment stuff, like, you know, it's like, does it feel right?
Yeah, wow. No, I agree. And so, I mean, I just love what you said there, because, you know, sometimes if it doesn't feel right, then it's okay to give yourself permission to move again. And you can try, you know, maybe again. But, you know, I love the adjustment you made, maybe for vacations, not for living, blah, blah, blah. But so, that's cool. And I just wanted you to share that, because obviously, you know, there's good and bad as with everything. And the way that you eventually found Bali was kind of cool. So. I love that.
Yeah.
But it's something about you. You are royalty in many circles. In fact, they call you the manifesting queen. You said you manifested your current husband. And one of the things you do is you've helped many women attract a mate. That's an interesting way of saying that. So what work do we need to do in order to manifest our ideal love life?
So, you know what, and this is where my journey kind of like took this kind of side turn, because I was working as a holistic therapist. I had a busy practice, and I really just decided I wanted to attract the one into my life. And I kind of like was running my business, but I wasn't like, oh my God, my business is my be all end all. And I was really working on the inner world around creating, first of all, space for my husband. So as I said, I moved house a lot of times when I was growing up, and I had this interest in feng shui. So I had like books about feng shui when I was 16. And, you know, my young 16-year-old self knew what I wanted to be doing in the world as part of my soul's journey. But I didn't really cop on that until like my late 20s, 30s. But I created space. I went, oh my God, I want to move into this new apartment. And I moved into this apartment. So finally, after being in that small little single bedroom of my friends for 5 months, at that stage, I had like made enough money to be able to rent an apartment. I had enough stuff going on in my business to kind of get going. So it was pretty good, like a couple of months, just like from scratch. So I found this gorgeous apartment and I moved in, and a friend of mine was moving in, and I said, I am not moving out of this apartment until I meet the guy, until I'm moving out into my home house with my husband to be. And she laughed her head off at me. I was like, I'm serious. Like, I'm deadly serious. And I think the power of intention is, I know that the power of intention is so, so paramount about creating your life. Like, it's like intentional living. So I moved into that place with like, this is my vision. And what am I going to do that? I'm going to create a space that is absolutely harmonious with attracting this person in. So I ended up at a talk, like my life kind of, little things happen, but I ended up at a talk, and the woman was a feng shui teacher. She was actually on The Secret. And I took out all her notes about what to do for feng shui your bedroom. I went home, I Googled it, I did loads of stuff. I got my bedroom all pimped up. I had never had a tidy bedroom, and this was it. I was like, I'm going to have the tidiest bedroom ever. I'm going to make sure there's space for my soulmate. I had two separate lockers. I emptied out one locker. I slept on my side of the bed. I wrote my intentions. I energized my love and marriage area, and all of that. And as part of all that, I also did the inner work. So I did a lot of healing around my past relationships. I did a lot of healing around relationships with my father and my brother, and speaking my truth to men. And what unfolded was a very, very interesting, because I had been when that first talk I did, and where I talked about the very first talk I did, and I've sold a few singing bowls. At that talk, a guy came and talked to us and said, there's going to be an event tomorrow. And I was really showing up. You know, part of the thing of moving to a new city is you need to show up and make friends. And he said, there's an event tomorrow with the life coach doing something about changing your life. And I was like, okay, I'll go. It was €20. So I went, and she made us write down three things at this event. And she said, it is December. So that was January the 21st, 2012. And she made us write down, it is December 21st, 2012, and I am grateful for. I wrote down, I'm grateful for my book. So, you know, I'm actually working on a book right now, which is quite interesting. You said that at the beginning, out of my story. I said it's December 21st, 2012. I'm grateful for my full yoga classes, which I had succeeded in doing. And it is December 21st, 2012, and I'm grateful for my soulmate relationship. So, you know, I was feng shuiing my house. I had written this intention that I had really had just kind of come out of nowhere, wasn't really sure about it. And all different things kind of started to conspire. I started having a lot of male friends come into my life. I grew up with two sisters. All my friends were women. I had like guy friends, but not like really solid men around me who were not there for like love or romance. It was like, hey, do you want to lift here? Hey, do you want to do this workshop? Hey, Patricia, like, hey, let's go hang out. You know, it was like really amazing men turned up to kind of support me at that time. And I was like, wow, this is really amazing. And I kind of kept doing this inner work, healing and clearing and starting becoming more trusting around and really kind of feeling great, just a great energy around men, which I hadn't particularly had just because of past stuff. And I was really healing all of that. So fast forward to the 21st of December, 2012, and my friend messages me and she says, it was an auspicious night, like for her in like Mayan calendars and all like holistic things. People were thinking big things are going to happen energetically. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to sit at home. There was a lot of things going on in Dublin. She messaged and said, hey, I've got us a ticket. We're going to this event and it's going to be a shamanic thing. There's going to be drumming. It's in a really nice place. I was like, okay, fine. So she said, I'll pick you up. Fine. So we headed to this event. I didn't have a clue what I was going to be honest. And the guy was talking about the event. He was like, we're going to write our intentions. We're going to burn all that we want to remove karmically. And then we're going to walk over hot coals. And I was like, hey, what? Yes, you're going to walk over hot coals four times. So that night, we had an amazing night. We did a shamanic journey. There was drumming. And then after the drumming, we went out to these two huge fires that had been brought down. And I burnt all of my stuff. I literally wrote my intention to the universe. I did not realize what date it was. I'd totally forgotten about this intention I'd written. I walked over hot coals four times that night. And about 2 hours afterwards, I sat down in the hall eating my dinner and my now husband sat beside me.
Okay.
On the 21st of December, 2012.
21st of December, 2012. Wow. That is
exactly how I'd written. So manifesting is something that it comes part of naturally and kind of not. Like, I prepared the space. So I made sure my house was all ready for love. I did all the inner work. And then I just let it off to the universe. Like, I wasn't like running around going, where is my man? Well, it's the 21st of December. Where is he? but he did arrive. Yeah. And we went looking for each other. So I actually didn't find out his name. He sat beside me that night. I didn't know his name. He didn't know my name. The next day, it was kind of like an all night kind of event. It was the walking hot coals went at like 4 a.m. or so, 3 a.m. or something. So he said, he said he went to the Buddhist center and he went to meditation, the Buddhist center in Dublin. I was like, oh, okay. And I said, I worked on this street in this health food shop upstairs doing my work. He's like, oh, okay. And after Christmas, so that was 21st December, Christmas went by. And in January, I went looking for him to the Buddhist center. I didn't find him. He went looking for me. He found someone else's number, some other woman who did sound healing. And we didn't kind of cross paths until 2 months later. And he walked into Mind, Body, Spirit, which is where I was working and speaking at. He walked in and I saw him and I was like, he's cute. I know him. And then, yeah, so I met him on the 21st of December, but we didn't actually kind of properly start dating until I think we had to show the universe we're really interested in each other and go look for each other. But we didn't find each other until like March. So yeah, it was quite funny.
Wow. March. 7th of March. There you go. Love's out there. Yeah. I love love. So I love hearing love stories. I thank you for sharing. As we wrap up, you romantic feng shui queen and expert. I mean, it would be remiss for me if I didn't ask you if you could share tips on how to build an online business. You know, there are a lot of people here who identify with several cultures who want to travel, but anyone starting out, what are tips to build a profitable business online?
To build a profitable business online is definitely to do something you're passionate about. Number one, you have to have the passion about it because the people will feel if you don't. So it's like, oh, I'm going to do an Amazon store. I'm going to sell something like, I don't know, this plug or this whatever. Like that is, you know, if you don't have the passion behind it, it's not going to go. And that's one of the things that my clients say to me about like my feng shui and my work. They're like, you walk your talk. You're so passionate about it. You believe in it so much. Like, that's it. So that's the first thing. The second thing I would say is something I was only just saying to someone this morning is like, start building your tribe early. Like, you know, I had done some online stuff. So I had some people on my Facebook page and a small group going, but I'd start building that tribe early, you know, start like just sharing your message, start showing up on Facebook, start showing up and sharing your message. And by doing that, you're just going to start interacting with people because they have to know, like, and trust you before they'll ever like buy from you. So a lot of the people who bought from my program the first time with the feng shui program, they didn't even really were in, like, and I see a lot, some clients like don't, like one woman messaged me once, she's like, I'm buying your course because you've given me so much in the last year from being in your free group. And I was like, all right, okay. Like, I hadn't even realized that I'd really, you know, been giving that much, but that's just in my nature is like, here you go. You need to ask questions about, you need help with this. Yeah, fine. So, you know, give first and you'll always receive, and it may not come back in a direct way. You know, that's one of the things, it may not come in a direct way. And I think another part is like, don't get obsessed with the technology. Like, find someone to help you with the technology. Like, get a VA, get someone that's going to do the technology side if it freaks you out, because it can just freak you out. And it can be this excuse, and it can be one of the things that holds you back. So from a technology point of view, there's loads of people who are really good at it. You don't need to do it all yourself. Find someone to help you. So even when I was in that dingy little crappy apartment, little house in India, I had an assistant and I was not making like hardly any money online at all. Like, I was kind of paying her with my savings, but you know what? I was building a relationship with her. I was figuring out my business, and it was a constant figure out, you know, because I had done this program for single women. Then I had done like a summit, and I didn't really know what I was doing, to be honest. And then I went, okay, I'm going to do this feng shui thing. And that really just shifted. It was, you know, and now we're scaling it, we're growing it, we're going to like look at really focusing on our people as well. Like, I think that's one of the big things you hear in so many coaches. But like, for me, up until now, my feng shui program has been very generic. It's been like, you know, I can help you with like more abundance, more love, you know, get yourself, your fame and reputation area out there, or like whatever aspects. But who I know that I really love most, and it's really taken me a while to step into that, is I love working with entrepreneurs, because that's who I am and that's who I get. And I want to see entrepreneurs succeed. So by default, I still have 80% of my clients and participants in my course are entrepreneurs, or 80, even 85, 90. But I'm not messaging like that. I haven't been fully directly messaging to them. So that's kind of been a huge lesson as well in the journey. Was like that you get your messaging right, because I didn't have it quite right. But I feel like that's all part of the process, that, you know, I wouldn't really realize that. I didn't really realize until that second really big launch most recently. So messaging is important. Who do you really want to serve? What do you love sharing about? And you can't go wrong when you just show up and give and be of service. And from that space, you will receive really, really, you know, amazingly and in very beautiful ways. And it's beautiful to see the results. And I think someone said to me the other day, like, why do you do this? Why do you do the feng shui? And I'm like, yesterday, a client who has a guest house, beautiful woman, lots of her life had kind of fallen apart once she moved into this house. And she's running a guest house, She had to put a specific remedy in to bring the abundance flowing into her business. And literally she implemented my advice yesterday morning, and that afternoon she got a sale for £1,000.
Wow.
You know, and I was like, this is why I do that, because her life is going to be easier now. She has more abundance in her life because her building was bad for money, you know? So it's like the results is what you want to focus on. And for me, that's why I do it. I'm like, and that's why I keep being pushed to do it more and to grow it and get my message out further, because like, I know this works. It can help entrepreneurs. It can help people. It'll make people's lives easier. Like, that's my big thing, is like, make your life easy. Like, you don't need to struggle, you know? We can just make it so yeah, that's business stuff, online business. Yeah, I hope that helps people. You know, and if people have questions, like, they can always message me, or like, you know, I find that, like, I have like a Facebook group, and like I have a post every week that's like, ask me anything, and literally the ask me anything post is just so interesting. Like, you always scroll back down and you will learn so much random stuff, because like the questions are like, and what about cactuses, and why my headboard is this way, or like, how did you do this in your life, or, you know, tell me about online business, what system do you use? Like, so it's pretty much anything. I'm like an open door with that kind of info.
No, that's amazing. And where else can people find you?
So you can find me on Facebook. So I have my Patricia Lohan, and I have my Facebook group, which is the Dream Life and Biz Creators group. So it's like creating your dream life and business. And then patricialohan.com. For anyone who is an entrepreneur out there, one of the things I do is help people like set up their office. So I have a beautiful, like, get your business office set up for success. So your environment. And I have an ebook there that could be really useful, and some meditations for stepping into success and really stepping into that zone of genius that you have. Like, it's all the wisdom is within you. You just have to allow it to get out.
All right. And how, this is the last question I always ask my listeners, and is the mission statement of what this podcast is and everything that I do. How do you use your difference to make a difference?
How do I use my difference to make a difference? So making a difference for me involves lots of different things. First of all, obviously results for my clients, but I also am a huge advocate of working, of supporting. You know, when I went to Nepal, I worked for a charity and went to the northernest part of Humla, which is in Nepal, and it's the poorest region. It's like one of the second poorest regions in the world, basically, and it's very hard to get to. And there's a charity that I support there called Foundation Nepal, and they give a hand up, not a handout. And I think for entrepreneurs here listening, I love the ethos of Foundation Nepal, because basically they teach women how to create their own businesses. They do small, like, startup loans, how to manage their money. They give them seeds to grow the plants, to then feed the family, to then also then be able to sell the vegetables at the market. So it's this beautiful cycle of growth and entrepreneurship. And that's how I really envision, you know, the thing is, the more money you make, the more people you can help. And that's a huge part of my thing now, is like, grow it so I can help all the entrepreneurs improve their businesses. But also by doing that, I can have so many more people that I want to support. Like, I have this huge thing at the moment at the plastic in Bali is a huge issue. For our oceans, but also for our, you know, then the environment, then also Nepal. And yeah, so there's places in my heart that I like to support. And I feel like that's kind of part of my mission, is to grow my business so that I can go out and be like, here, I just want to be a philanthropist, basically. I just want to be going, need help with that? Here you go. Need help with that? Here you go.
Yeah, no, that is, you're so fun. I love having you on. that's a great way. And thank you so much. I really, this has been a great Sunday for me. Just because, you know, I woke up, had my little sermon, and then came here straight, and you had this message. But once again, I'll make sure I put all your connection points in the show notes. But thank you.
This gorgeous. Thank you so much. I'm so delighted with the opportunity to share my story, and I hope it inspires people to, you know, move out of your box. You have a message to share, and the world needs that light. You know, we need you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you are certainly a light. So thank you so much for coming on. And ladies and gentlemen, till next time, use your difference to make a difference.
You've just been listening to the As Told by Nomads podcast.
podcast. For more ways to reach out to Tayo and to use your difference to make a difference, head over to www.tayoroxon.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.